In the eighth chapter of Paul's epistle to the Romans, I believe verse 14 says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And I'm thankful that the Lord leads His people. I just stood and thought, as Brother Strode was singing that, leading that song for us, that if it wasn't for the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, there would have been so many situations that I encountered in my ministry that I wouldn't have had a clue what to do. I would have been left to make decision on my own and probably would have been the wrong decision. I thank God for His guidance, for His leadership. I'm thankful that I know His voice. When God's speaking to me, I know who it is. And God has a way of letting us know when He's telling us something. That's a good old song, Brother Strode. I appreciate you leading that. We're glad again to have Brother Carter here. I'm not going to hold him up. I'm going to give way to him. He's one of the members and ministers of our church here at Fairview Memorial. I've got some great blessings listening to Brother Carter preach. The last time he preached, I sat right there in the Amen Corner and just got a tremendous blessing out of the sermon. And the Lord really used him. And that's what we need to pray tonight, that the Lord would take him and use him for a little while. I pray that God would bless the message in a mighty way. At the end of this month, at the end of this year, here in about another month, if the Lord allows time to continue, we'll complete 4 years that I've been here as pastor. And when I came here, there's a lot of people at Fairview Memorial that I didn't know. There were some that I did. There were some that I knew, but not very well. And I didn't really know Brother Michael, at least not very well. But I've really learned to love him in the Lord here over the last 4 years. And I pray that God will bless him tonight, and that God will free his thoughts and his speech and help him tonight as he speaks to us from God's word. So, Brother Michael, if you're ready, just come on and we'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Brother Miller, for the kind words. It's good to hear that God uses you. It's good to hear that from somebody else. I appreciate the kind words. If we would just turn to our Bibles, turn in our Bibles real quick to the book of Ephesians. I'm going to read a few verses, and I wasn't going to read as many verses as my scripture text, but they just, I read them while we were all singing, and I thought they were appropriate. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, starting with the first verse. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, in all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I'll skip to the 25th verse. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. May God receive the glory of the reading of his word. Like Paul, tonight I come with a heavy heart, and I'm speaking to the church. We're members one of another. Amen. This morning, I extended a special invitation for all of y'all to come, not to listen to me, but in some way I wanted you to hear this message. I knew if I didn't give it, somebody would. Members one with another. Now, I'm going to go ahead and start reading some more of Paul's writings to the church of Corinth. I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. Know ye not that your bodies are the member of Christ? Skipping to the 18th, the 20th verse. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. The message I have to bring to the church is, if I was to put a title on it, would simply be help. Help. And hopefully with God's help, I'll remind y'all of a way that we can help each other. And not only we, but God is the ultimate helper. God can help you with whatever ailment may be before you. But as I look at friendship, I try to look at that as an institution, as a unit, as something almost tangible. And what came to my mind was when I was a young boy, my mother and my father often were putting friendships in front of me, arranging situations that could develop into friendships. And I believe there's a reason for that, and we'll go on. If we look in the book of Proverbs, we see that iron sharpeneth iron, and men do to the lives of their friends. We make each other sharper in friendship. I don't think there's any coincidence in how many times Paul spoke to the church on love. But he also spoke to the church almost in the same sentence, and with the help of God, he spoke to the church on the way to love and what not to do. Things that get in the way of love. And I believe when Paul was saying fornication, I believe we can put in there things that get in the way of love. There's a wide variety of things that get in the way of love, the wide variety of things that cause us to need help. We have many problems. Look at our country. Our country no longer, the majority of our country no longer acknowledges Jehovah God and Jesus Christ. They might say we believe in God, but that's not the case in our schools. We're to keep God out of our schools. But Paul was explaining a way that will help those situations, will help the situations that when we can't pay our bills, when we fall into a deep, deep hole and we seek substance and the abuse of substances to cure our ailments, and we seek after other worldly things, different images, we hold up these images as idols. But he showed us and explained to us a way we can look for help. And he wasn't the first one to point this out. Jesus. Jesus was asked the question, Master, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, first, love God. And second is to love thy neighbor as thyself. He wasn't asked what the second greatest commandment was, but He carefully paired it together with the first greatest commandment. And I believe there's a reason for that. I'm going to read a little of Matthew 7. And you can turn to Matthew 7 and bring our attention to the third verse. Why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. I'm going to stop right there for a second. In this verse, it's commonly and it's commonly quoted, Matthew 7, don't judge, don't talk to me about how I should be. But clearly, if we read into this seventh chapter of Matthew, as the writer goes on to say, we're to work on ourselves so we can see clearly enough to help others. I think that's very important because there are many problems that we all have. I don't believe it'll take each individual here long enough to pick out a few problems that might fall in front of us. Yes, we are truly blessed, but we're not perfect. There are things that we have, things that we don't have, things that we want, things that we want but we don't need, things that we want that we very dearly need. Let's hold that thought and we'll come back to it later. And that thought is the fact that there are things that we need and things that we don't need. We need to be asking to see clearly enough in our own lives first, so we can remove the beams out of our lives. And I'm not talking about the beams of not having a fancy car, the beams of not having the greatest attire to wear. But there are beams in our own lives that need to be removed first. And each one of y'all know that. I'm not going to look out right this very second and tell you what they are. The Bible doesn't tell me not to do that, because what that is helping your brother. That's following the second greatest commandment, is loving thy brother. The prophet Isaiah said, prepare the way for the Lord, make his way straight as a desert highway. If I look to God, I will, the Bible tells me, I will be able to ask him how to remove the beams in my life. There are two reasons for that. One, so I can strengthen my relationship with God. And two, so I can help my brothers strengthen their relationship with God. Time after time, people come to us asking for help. Or maybe they're not asking, but maybe they're needing help. How about this time of year? There are countless people less fortunate than ourselves. And we tend to see them in the news. Let's help them financially. Let's give them a Christmas. Let's help put gifts under the tree. I'm not saying don't do that. There are people in this church that need that kind of help. People that may walk into the doors of this church house that need that very same kind of help. That they're helping them in those situations is removing a moat from their life. That's removing a mote from their life. That's helping clear the way, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. That's helping do that. How many times do we think that, oh, I'm not supposed to judge, I'm not supposed to do that, that's a little too uncomfortable for me, that's not my place, that's not my job, I'm not the pastor of the church, I'm not a deacon of the church, I'm not a song leader of the church, I'm not, wait a second, you are somebody in this church, because I'm speaking to members of this church, I'm speaking to my neighbors, to my friends. And although not all my friends are here, I invited countless others. I made an effort to contact others, invite them here to convey that they're my friends and I'm there to help them. But that's not the only reason for this message. See, when we look at friendship as an institution, we're back to that, as something tangible, as something we can hold on to, something that we can grab. We see it as a tool to help us get closer to God. And God gave us friendship. I ask that you look at organizations at our school, which comes to my mind, the student group at Western, and I know there's one at UK, or was at one time, I would hope so. Let's take part in those. Let's help strengthen our relationships with others, because it's preparing the way for the Lord, making his path straight. He's all-powerful. God can do all things. He doesn't need me to prepare the way for the Lord. He doesn't need that. But nonetheless, the prophet Isaiah encouraged us to do just that, to prepare the way for the Lord. Don't take friendship for granted. Look at it as something tangible, something holy given to us from God, so we might the greatest commandment of all, to love thy God . I don't have very much to bring to you today, except for keep my commandments. And I say that, keep my commandments with uppercase, not my commandments, but the commandments of God, those two greatest commandments. I'm going to read Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. In friendships, we have the opportunity to share each other's burdens. You confide in me and I confide in you. I may not be the most sociable person around, but I need to work on that myself. because being sociable is going to help me love my brother. It's going to help me kindle friendships. Are you going to look for those opportunities? Are you going to make an extra effort to be more sociable? Are you going to do that? Are you going to get out of your comfort zone on the occasions that I just really don't like that situation? I have countless people say that I don't like that situation, so I'm not going to do it. But for some reason, I think I should, but I'm not going to. The greatest commandment of all is the one that's tugging on your shirt and saying that you need to put yourself in that situation. Tonight, his messenger not making up words. I've said nothing that's not in the scripture, nothing that hasn't been said before. I don't think it's new to your ears, but when are we going to start doing it? When are we going to start loving our neighbors? When are we going to start loving God? When are we going to stop the hate that we see in this world? We have the capability to affect, well, a lot of people, a whole lot of people, because if we put ourselves in those situations while we ask God for his guidance and his direction, if we want so badly to be able to help remove the moats in others' life, to share the burdens of your brother, if we want that so bad, that ability, God's going to help us with that. God's going to give me the ability to say to my brother, no, don't eat that mushroom, that's poison. No, don't buy that lottery ticket. Throwing your money away. No, don't buy that pack of cigarettes. No, don't start that extramarital relationship. No, don't seek out substances, drugs, alcohol to soothe any pain you may have, because there is an answer to that. The answer is the greatest commandment of all. The answer is Jesus. You're not strangers to that. I'm going to ask, we have a song, and during that song, I'm not asking for you to come shake my hand. I'm not asking for you to tell me how good of a job I did, because I didn't do a good job. There's parts of this message that I'd like to relate to you that, well, I'm just might not be capable of, or might not have prayed hard enough, might not have sought out God's guidance enough. But come to the altar. And when you do, pray for a friend. Pray for a friend. You know your friend's needs. I'm going to do that. I have a friend that's on my heart. I have a friend that has many, many needs. On occasion, I've been able to witness to him. And I'm sure you have to your friend. If not, pray for an opportunity, while you're praying for that friend, pray for an opportunity to be able to remove the mold from that friend's life. God will help you. God will show you. And when we do this, in a way, not in a way, we are preparing the way for the Lord. We're making his path straight. That's my message. I'd like us to have a song. I'd like you to come to the altar and pray with me. Jesus cannot be replaced. There's no way that I could do what Jesus does. There's no way that Brother Miller can do what Jesus does or did. There's no way any of you can do what Jesus can or will do. But he's a great counselor. You can help bear the burdens of your friends. Come help me pray for our friends. Help me pray that we grow in the unity in the body that we have the privilege of being in. God, let me be a part of the greatest body in the world. And God, put me in his church. I'm glad to call you friends. Come help me pray.
Number 237.